Okay, this week we're going to speak about the Inyanim of Tuma.
We got another one coming.
Parshas Chukas. We're almost out of Mezumin. There's a lot to do, my friends. We got a lot to do here. Some very, very interesting stuff. We're going to talk about how the Malach HaMavis kills. Does the Malach HaMavis kill? Does he kill with a sword? Or does he kill with... How does he kill? What? Listen to how he kills. Here we go. So what is the reason for Tumas Mace and a tzaddik which doesn't have Tumas Mace? I'd like to share that with you because it says Miriam was Mace Mimisis Nishika. She probably didn't have Tuma. So the Ramban says the following thing. The reason for Tumas Mace is Be'itya Shel Nachash. Someone that dies with Nashika is not Mitame Min Hadin. That's why Tzidika not Mitame. The Avnei Nezer explains as follows. He brings from Chaim Vital that the Malach HaMoves, he would drop some, these drops of poison, we'll call it poison, into a person, and that poison creates Tuma. So like this, the Malach HaMoves has a sword. What is he doing with his sword? So it's not clear, but it appears to me, this, the Gemara says the following thing. What it is a person sees the Malach HaMoves and he pulls out his sword and the person gets scared, so he goes like this. Ah! The Malach HaMoves then drops the drops inside of his mouth because he just opened his mouth because he's scared. What does the person do when he's scared? Watch. Ah! There it is, just like that. He does that and the Malach HaMoves drops these three drops of this poison inside of the person's mouth. Now this poison brings tremendous amount of tuma to the guf. And the neshama can't be soival the tuma. So what does the neshama do? The neshama, it bolts. It escapes, it runs, it leaves the body. That's it. Mikani tumas meis. So I'm gonna say the Hagdara is as follows. According to Chaim Vital, what comes first, the Misa or the Tuma? Help me out, my friends. What comes first, the Misa or the Tuma? The Tuma comes first. The drops creates this Tuma that the Neshama can't deal. The Neshama bolts, and that's the end. That's the way it happens. That is really cool. That's what Chaim Vital says, and that's where Tumas Meis comes from. Now, Misa's Neshika is Hashem kind of just like sucks the neshama out just like that? And you don't have to, no tuma, no drops, no nothing. No Malach HaMoves, zero. So, therefore, no tuma. No tuma. Because there's no drops. Okay, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh seems to say a different reason. We're going to say nafka minas, and then we're going to say what seems to be maybe a third pshat. We'll see. I don't know. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, he says, why is it called Chukas HaTorah? And he says the reason is as follows. What happens is that a goy, says the Malach HaMoves, is not Matama. A yid is Matama. And he explains as follows. Let's say you take two pails. One of the pails was used for honey, which, you know, is very, very dear to my family. And the other pail is used for manure. And you put the two pails out. Where are the flies going to, like, be attracted to? They're going to be attracted to the honey. Because maggots, shrutzim, klippas, all of the koichas of tuma are all going to be attracted to something that had the ziskite, like the honey. In other words, this physical manifestation of a spiritual also reality, which is that a yid is matama, goy is not matama, because the yid had kedusha in him. The yid had Torah in him. So the klippas are all kind of like attracted to over there, to the... And that's what tuma is. So it's a different pshat in tuma. It's a different pshat in tuma. The first pshat of tuma is coming from the tipis. The second pshat of tuma is it's the vestiges that's left over in the guf of the kedusha, and it attracts all of the klipas, and that brings the tuma. Yeah. There's no tuma space by goyim because there never was any. The guy was manure. The yid is the one that had the honey, so that had the Torah.
Could you visit a goy's kever?
Yes. Yes. Goy is not mitama. That's the way Paskin's over here also. The Rambam is pasuk in a kusi nasa tamei meis rak Yisrael. Al kopanim, the following thing says the Avnei Nezer. The nafkamina is going to be what happens if a person is nerag. If he's nerag, he's not meis alidei malach hamoves. Not meis alidei malach hamoves. There's no tipas. You don't need the malach hamoves. There's no tipas. So what's going to be the tumah? It's going to be the other reason. Okay. The problem is that the Torah's Chaim and Chulin says, I have a Gemara that says he is nerag al yidei malach hamoves. It says even by a behema, nerag al yidei malach hamoves, mali hocho, mali hasam, famous Gemara. So you see that even a behema is nerag al yidei malach hamoves. So he wants to say not like the Arizal. I would like to say an answer, but before I do, I want to ask you another question. My question is, according to Reb Chaim Vital, how does a goy die? Okay, so you take out the sword, and the guy goes, ah! And then you drop the tipis in, and he's tummy. Does the guy mind the tumah?
I think he's
vibing with the tumah. He's like, yeah, it's very, very hip with him. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, I'm going. What?
That's a little more.
Yeah, it's like really hip. It's cool.
He has the sword.
Ah, so I wanted to say like a kiva, is that maybe as a chiddush? I don't know if it's the emes of pshat. Maybe the Malach HaMavis uses the cherev for the guy. The tipas for the yid. The cherev for the guy.
Why?
That's my chiddush. That's my chiddush tonight, Rabbi Yisai. I don't know if I'm right. I'm trying to figure out, is this just pure like show? It's just for show, the sword? It's like, what? He never uses it? I think he does use it. I think he uses it. I mean, the Gemara talks about does he use the sword or not. But I'm suggesting for the guy, he uses the sword. For the yid, he uses the tipas. So he brings the sword, it scares the yid, opens his mouth, drops in the tipas. For the guy, for the behema, also he's using the cherev. So when the Reb Chaim Vital says that the Malach HaMavis only kills a person, when a person's nerag, he doesn't have the Malach HaMavis, it means there's no tipas. You don't need the tipas. The Malach HaMavis still has to get the neshama out of the guf, and he uses the cherev to get the neshama out of the guf. So maybe that's really, so there is some sort of visit from the Malach HaMavis, even by a behema, because a behema has a neshama, even by a person that's nerag. What's getting the neshama out of the guf? The cherev is getting the neshama out of the guf. By a yid, all you have to do is put some tipas in, and the neshama runs out of the guf. Whoosh! By Mises Neshika, Hashem Kiel kisses the neshama out of the guf. By a guy, you just cut it right out. Just cut it out. That's it. You cut it out of the guf with the cherev. That's what the cherev is for. What do you say, Rabbi Goldberg? I don't even know what I'm talking about, but it sounds like...
Sounds fascinating.
That's what I like to suggest. Why do you want the goof of the yid to be?
Yeah,
I don't think that's necessarily what. First of all, the more it discusses, it seems like sam is a more dignified way of a person dying than with a cherev. It's not the pshat. The pshat is that the tipas are going to work for a yid because the neshama is going to be allergic to the tumah, so the neshama just bolts. You don't need to use the cherev, and the neshama leaves on its own. As opposed to by a guy, the neshama is just gonna, I mean, it's got all that tumah in it already. It's gonna vibe with the tumah. It's gonna be like, you know, it's gonna be very in its zone. So giving it more tipas of tumah is not gonna do anything. Therefore, you use the cherev to cut the neshama out, to get the neshama out. This is my thought. But if you look on Amud Beis, I think that there seems to be a whole different, like, approach. It seems to be a whole different approach over here in the Medrash, because it says, the Sifri Zuta says, Hanogeya b'meis l'chol nefesh adam b'tamei shivas yamin. Noigeya b'meis tamei. Ein meis atzmai tamei. The meis is not tamei. Noigeya b'meis tamei. Ein b'na shel shunamis tamei. Amru. B'na shel shunamis kishe meis kol shoye imoy b'bayis tamei. What happens if a person dies and then he comes back to life? a Jew. He dies, and he comes back to life. I think it just happened. Was there a Meron story like that? I think there was a Meron story like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a Meron story. He dies, and he comes back to life. Is he Tame? He was dead. Anyone who touches him is Tame. Says the Sefer Zuta. Anyone who touches him is Tame. The Meis Atzmoi Einoi Tame. Meis Atzmoi Einoi Tame. Well, it doesn't make it. Well, it doesn't make it. When it was to do a tahara, that's interesting. Adarabah, because the mice, even after the tahara, anyone who touches the mice is still tummy. So the adarabah, this if anything would be that it would actually even support a little bit. It's an interesting thing. What are we doing a tahara for? But it seems like you could do a tahara on a tummy mace. The reason is because the mace is not tummy. The mace atzmoi einoi tummy. And that's why the Ben Hashunamis, who came back to life, just he was fine. It's fine. He wasn't Tameh. He was never Tameh. When he was dead, he wasn't Tameh. So what's Tumas Meis? Says the Sefer Zuta. He says that a person that touches the Meis is Tameh. The Meis Atzmo is not Tameh. Okay. Rabbi said, I think this is different than what we saw before. We were saying that there's Tumas, the drops make Tumah, or the body has klipas that are coming, like getting attracted to the kedusha that was in the guf. All this seems to say that there's tumah in the guf. That's what it seems like. So how over here are we saying, the Sefer Zuta seems to be a third opinion. The mace is not tummy. There's no tumah in the mace. That's what it seems like.
If you touch it, it's tummy.
You touch it, you become tummy.
From nothing.
Yeah, well, it's not from nothing, apparently. What it appears like is as follows. That your interaction with that world will make tuma for you. Not for it. It's not tame. You will become tame from interacting with it.
Because it wasn't touching itself as nothing. What would become tame? The only nafkamina that would be is if it comes back to life, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
What other nafkamina would be if it itself?
There might be other nafkaminas, but let's
itself is tame.
Right. There might be other nafkaminas. We'll see. There might be other nafkaminas. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get into it exactly, but at the moment, it seems like the way that we understand the Sifrei Zuta is the mace is not tame. It's just the mace. You interacting with the mace is going to make you tame. The mace itself is not tame. However, Aaron Kotler, when he quotes this Sifrei Zuta, has a problem. And his problem is as follows. He says the following thing. The halacha is, a person is not allowed to bring tuma into the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to bring tuma into the Beis HaMikdash. Is one allowed to bring or to have a dead person in the Beis HaMikdash? So one of the things that happens when they do, when they're mashke soita. What? Oh, that may be that's an interesting thing. It depends on where it might be, because not everyone in the Beis HaMikdash is. Oh, but they're mashka soita, and then all of a sudden her face starts going a little freaky. So they say, "Get her out of here quick! She's gonna blow, right? She's gonna blow."
They don't do it inside the Beis HaMikdash.
They do.
They do it,
and that's in the Beis HaMikdash, and you have to get her out of there. So they say she's going to blow. Get her out. So they quickly get her out before she explodes. What do you have to get her out for? Because she's Tame Mace? But a Mace, but there's nothing. A Mace is not Tame. I don't mind no one should touch her, okay? But is there a problem of bringing a Mace into the Beis HaMikdash? There is, Esther Brown Cutler. I don't understand. Machnis Mace la Mikdash Chai Mishum Tumas Mikdash. There's no Tuma. I thought you said the Mace is not Tame. You might know one should touch him, but the mace is not tame. Vaistachois, says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Briskirov. They say this, but they don't say this over here exactly, but the following you said. Listen carefully. The Sifrei Zuta doesn't mean that the mace is not tame. The Sifrei Zuta means the mace is not mekabel tuma. The mace is not mekabel tuma, but the mace is a source of tuma. There's a difference. We'll see. There's a difference. The mace is not mekabel tuma, but the mace is a source of tuma. Being that the mace is a source of tuma, So if you bring the mace into the Beis HaMikdash, have you brought Tumah into the Beis HaMikdash? Absolutely. But the mace doesn't have a, it wasn't Mekabel the Tumah. It is a source of Tumah. But for example, what happens if a mace is no longer a mace? Now usually when something is Mekabel Tumah, you need something to get out the Tumah. You need something to get out the Tumah. Like you have to go to the mikveh or something like that. If someone was the source of Tumah because he was mace, but he's no longer mace, do we have a source of Tumah here? Not anymore. Is there a Tumah remaining? No, because he wasn't Mekabel Tumah. The mace was not Mekabel Tumah. Therefore,
when he was dead, anything that touched him.
Well, anything that touched him, Enochanami, got the Tumah from him, and that was Mekabel Tumah. What's something that's Mekabel Tumah? What are the rules of being Mekabel Tumah? What? A Kli. So a Kli that touched him, Enochanami, will become Tameh. And will stay Tameh. If he now comes back to life, so he, when he was dead, was he Mekabel Tumah? Is a dead person Mekabel? He's not a Mekabel. I'll give you another example. The other example we give is as follows. There's a halacha of a goylel and a doyfek. Okay, it's a machloik. It's exactly what it is, but let's assume for the moment it means something that's covering the kever. That is a special din of tumah. A goylel and a doyfek. It's a stone. It's a special din of tumah. Now, the Rambam holds that the goylel and the doyfek is only metame as long as it's there on top of the kever. But if you move it from the kever, it's not metame anymore. Now, what's the pshat? Where'd the tumah go? Where'd the tumah go? If it was tame, everything that's tame, it's got to go to the mikvah or something. Everything that's tame, it needs something to be mafkia the tumah. Says the Briskerov, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. No, a goyel is not a kli. In order to be mekabel tumah, you have to be a kli. So why is a goyel tame? Not because it's a kli. Not because it's mekabel tumah. It's a shoyresh of tumah. It's a source of tumah. So therefore, the moment it's no longer a goylel, it's no longer tameh. So therefore, a mace, whenever he's no longer dead, he's no longer tameh. So therefore, the Sifrei Zuta is saying, the mace isn't mekabel tumah, avada, it's the source of tumah. It's avia voisa tumah. But it's not, it's not mekabel the tumah that it has. So therefore, now, Rabbi say, I humbly suggest that this reason that we're giving for a mace not being mekabel tumah, I think it works much better with the pshat that we have of the that we were saying of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and the pshat of Rabbi Chaim Vital. I don't really understand the pshat. According to Rabbi Chaim Vital, we put drops into the person while he was alive. And he became Tameh while he was alive. And then the Neshama ran out afterwards. So what came first? The Tumah or the Misa? The Tumah. So he became Tameh while he was alive. Elamai, now the Neshama ran away because of the Tumah. So what made the Tumah leave? Why is the Noma Tumah when he becomes alive again? What happened to the Tipas? What? What'd you say?
Reborn.
Yeah, I don't see why. But if there was tumah there, so then, and that's tumah's mace. So then, what happened? What's the tumah's mace?
When a body gets those tipas, he is now a shtick to his mace. Then we call tumah from the tipas.
So, whatever it is, there's tumah here when he's alive. Right?
What tumah is that? Tumah's mace.
Okay.
The bris kerubos tumas meis is there when he's alive.
Yeah, it's just my point is that the whole vort we're saying was that the tumah is something that a mace doesn't have a din to have tumah. So, but over here it's not dafka tolim being a mace that has the tumah. The tumah is even when he's alive. A live person has tumah, so then the tumah is not paka.
Is he alive?
What?
Is he alive? That second that those drops get into him.
But first it's the drops and then the neshama leaves. Okay, it's ban kachas. But the point is that it's not the pshat that the tumah comes from the misa. The misa comes from the tumah. Peseder. But ain't a chanami. But mechatesi. Mechatesi when he comes back alive, the tumah shouldn't be here.
The reason the neshama left in the first
place. I don't know. What happened? It expired? The drops expired? Mechatesi. I don't know. According to the pshat of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the whole reason for the tumah is because You left a Darvish HaMekdusha here, and it's not being used. So therefore, you have an empty bucket with some honey left. Therefore, it gets the klipas. The bucket's not empty. You won't have klipas. The moment the neshama comes back, all the klipas disappear. I understand the klipas disappear according to the Chaim HaKadosh. We have an empty bucket, and all that's left is a little bit of honey. So all the bugs come to it. But once it's already alive, the bugs run away. What?
Why don't the bugs come for the honey?
No, it only comes when it's empty.
Why?
Because the whole vort is that if it's not being used, then the klipa comes. It's always when it's an empty thing. So you have a question. Why isn't a live person tame? Right? The answer is because the klipas don't come when it's being used. The bugs don't come if there's activity. It's just when it's being left alone. Now the neshama left, and you left us with a little bit of vestiges of honey. But once the neshama comes back, the klipas leave, and we're good to go. And therefore, there's no tumah. So according to Orach Chaim HaKadosh, it's very simple to me why there's no tumah. But according to the pshat of Reb Chaim Vital, I don't get it. I don't understand what happened over here. What? How does this work?
The whole reason the neshama left in the first place is because of the klipas that came into you, the drops or whatever.
Correct.
So the only way the neshama would be able to come back if that was gone, because otherwise it would be able to come back.
Yep.
So
you're saying that he had to have been healed in order that they have to take, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him back to life, so he took out the tipas. I don't know, how does that work exactly? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know how this works. According to the Reb Chaim Vital, I don't get how it works. I hear what you're saying. But according to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, I think it's very simple. That once a person comes back to life, there's no longer klipas that are being attracted here to the empty barrel. This is the way that we understand what's happening when it comes to tumas meis. So at the moment we have two different types of tumah. There's a tumah that you have, which is your makabel tumah. There's a tumah that you have, which is your source of tumah. There's a third type of tumah, says Reb Oizer, which is as follows. A person that does the avoida with a para aduma, what happens to him? What? He himself becomes tummy. Shteltzach the kasha. When the Mishnah speaks about the avois hatumah, the Mishnah says, Avos HaTumah, it's Sheretz, Shechvazera, Tamei Meis, all these. The Mishnah goes through all the Avos HaTumah. Never does the Mishnah mention Para Aduma as being one of the Avos HaTumah. Why not? A person does Avoida with the Para Aduma, it becomes Tamei. That is a new source of Tumah. The answer is Lichura. It doesn't mean that the para aduma is a source of tumah. But when a person interacts with the para aduma, he becomes tameh. This our misunderstanding originally of the Sifrei Zuta, which we thought that a mace is not tameh. It's just if I touch the mace, I become tameh. So that doesn't make sense over there because of many questions. So, but by para aduma, it's for sure the pshat. The para aduma isn't tameh. As a matter of fact, the paraduma is the source of tahara. It's just my interaction with it will leave me tame. So that's not an av hatuma, because it's not giving over tuma to anyone.
Where's it coming from?
It's coming from the Okay, I don't understand this 100%. It's coming from the imbalance. In other words, when the two, there's something that's discombobulated, created tumah. Usually there's a tumah, there's something here which can transfer tumah to you. I have tumah, I'm going to give it to you. Even if I'm not a kabbal the tumah, I'm a source of tumah, I'm a kabbal the tumah, whatever it is, I'm giving tumah over to you. This, I don't have tumah. But you touching me is going to make you tummy. Because there's something discombobulated. We understand that the Parah Aduma doesn't have tumah. The Parah Aduma is the source of tahara. But a person being getting involved in the Parah Aduma will leave him tummy. So we talk have three different types of tumah, my friends. One type of tumah is something that's mikabel tumah, which means that the tumah is inside of it. Another type of thing which is exuding tumah. It doesn't have, it's not makabel tumah, but it has, it's a shorish, it's a source of tumah. And then there's a third type of tumah, which is something which just the interaction with that is going to give tumah. That would be the parah aduma. And taka, the dinim of all three of them would be different in numerous different ways, but that's not for our, for the topic of our discussion. Rabbi Yisai, have a great Shabbos, everybody.